Good to be here. Wow. I was driving from Home Depot. Yeah, from Home Depot. And the Spirit of the Lord came on me in the vehicle. And I began praying in other tongues. And as I was praying, I was so impressed that this prayer was concerning the end times that we're in. And that's not what I'm speaking about. But I just, I have that so fresh, so clean. And as I kept driving, it began to come out of my mouth, trouble, trouble, trouble. And that was it. But then as I sat here, the Lord began to speak to me again along those lines. And He said that it is a good thing that there has come a change in this nation. That it is a good thing that it has sparked new hope in some and caused some to look to the future. It is a good thing that people clamor about and seek to better and change their life. But He said the good thing only lasts and can only be carried if that thing is based on God. There may be clamoring, there may be hollering, there may be shouting, there may be victory in the streets, but if not, that victory is not based on Jesus Christ and His victory, that hope will fade. That hope will not last. The victory that is so sweet today and the hopes that are so high will come down. And now I understand the beginning. Trouble, trouble, trouble. So I think, just as a freebie, I guess, this morning, put your hope in God. And again, see, I'm reminded, as I sat there, the Lord said, He is not against us getting a hold of what is happening in our nation, the surge of hope, and using it for His benefit. Taking this opportunity when eyes are focused elsewhere to begin to rise up Christ in the midst of that. Or else there's trouble, trouble, trouble. Amen, right? I'm going to stop there. Hallelujah. Well, as the pastor, he messed me up concerning this message. It all came out of, I was at work, and I was on Fort Lewis. Some of you know I worked there occasionally. And I was painting in a house there, and I cleaned up all my stuff, and I got it all loaded up in the truck, and I put it all away. And I'm thinking, I'm getting in the truck and I'm going home about a half hour early. Whew, this is good. And the Lord said, no, I want you to go inside and paint underneath that shelf. I said, no, wait a minute. I just cleaned out my brush. I put it in a case, you know. If you know anything about me, my brushes are very special. I take care of them. I'm serious. It's almost like I'm married to the things. I think I've been almost married to the brush as long as I've been married, minus 1 year. And so I just, nah, I'm not doing it. I started head around to the driver's side, and it just, the Lord said, no, go under there, back in there, and paint that shelf. Now let me give you a clue where this shelf is. It's in a little closet. It ain't no bigger than that. It's got a bifolding door, and it's right here. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I painted the sides of it because I could reach in there. I got that. He said, no, I want you to go back in there and paint the back of that. Ain't no one going to see that. Come on, Tish. Give me a break. And so that's where this message comes from. So let's open our Bible to Psalms 26. Man, I didn't want to go do that. I had to get the 5-gallon bucket out, open it up again, and drag that thing in there and get my brush I just cleaned and put in the case.
I hear you.
Amen. You found Psalm 26? Okay, don't be reading it. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come before you right now and take advantage of this opportunity that the Spirit of grace has afforded us. Not only to hear from you today, but to meet with you. Not only to meet with you, but to surrender our heart in that meeting, that you may help us and better our lives and fill us with yourself. So myself and as a congregation, Father, we yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's read Psalms 26 verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. David said here, I have walked in my integrity. And that's what I heard when I went and I painted underneath there where I could not see. The Lord said, that's integrity. And then right after that, of course, if some of you were in the men's breakfast, you heard this same story. Right after that, the Lord said, now that's what I want you to share with the men. And so I did. And then the pastor said, wow, you got to embellish that and share it with the congregation. And so it began to come a fire on me. And that's when I said, well, let's get it done. And he said, okay, have a Sunday morning. So today we're going to talk about integrity. And as I was thinking of these things and meditating on them back then, these five areas of integrity began to come and develop. And the first one is in the home. That would be with your wife, your children, and extended family. In public. That's at work, at play, or in general interaction with people. In private. That's time alone in the secret places. In church. Now I'm going to use a word that is probably archaic and not very friendly to you, but it is a good word. In church where there is duty. Some of us don't know what that word means. Doesn't mean you're paying a fee to cross the bridge. It's way more dynamic than that, way more fuller than that. But it is duty and fellowship with other Christians. And then the last one, number five, in ourself. Integrity in ourself, that is spirit, soul, and body, encompasses all of us. Now, before we get too far, we're going to look at a further definition. First of all, it is a noun. Integrity is a noun, and it produces actions. It's not an action, but it is a thing that produces something. And that something is actions. It also means it's a completeness. I like this one. Unimpaired condition. It's a soundness. It's honesty. It's oneness. It's uprightness or righteousness. It's honor. It's sincerity. Now, as we think about integrity, I want you to remember this phrase. And, of course, not think about yourself. Think about, you know, someone else, because this probably doesn't apply to anyone in here. But this was powerful. I read this. It says, if a person doesn't have integrity in themselves, they tend to blame others for their shortcomings. That is just like, bam. You know, you ever deal with people that always it's someone else's fault? It's some other reason why? Or it couldn't be because of them? Maybe there's a lack of integrity. Now we're just going to go ahead and go right in to integrity. And we're going to start with that first one. in the home. And again, it's with your wife, your children, and your extended family. Now, as we're talking, just focus on also the definition about being sound and complete and sincere and righteous. I think I'm going to give that definition again. I love it so much. Being righteous is not just being right with God, let's say, but being right with God also gives me the ability to change whatever's wrong in my life. See, being righteous is a noun. It's a thing. It belongs to me, but it produces actions. Just like integrity. So you're with your wife, your children, extended family. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. How many times have you heard, man, the book of Ephesians is awesome? Probably 1,000 times. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." I want to just focus on three words in there concerning integrity in the home. Just as Christ. Just as Christ. That's very important because it is meaning that you're not alone in this. Because every time you see the word Christ in the New Testament and it talks about all the riches of glory in Christ, it talks about in Him we have our being in Christ. We all in Christ means it is a direct link to the new birth. He meets all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. It is when you're walking in the new birth and doing what He wants you to do, your needs are met. So when you see in Christ, I can do all things in Christ. Outside of Christ, I can do nothing. So just as Christ, in the home, you can do all things. Your home can be all better. Your home can be all greater in Christ. And I was on a retreat just recently, winter camp. Woohoo! And I had an opportunity to share with a couple there. And out of my mouth came this phrase I never heard before. Now, it's probably been coined somewhere, but I never heard it. And I told this young man, "You can be a Christ husband." I said, "The Christ husband in you can meet her every need." I never heard that before. Integrity in your home. And then I said to the young lady, "There's a Christ wife in you." And in our kids, there's a Christ children. You hearing me? You got to get your kids turned on to Christ as soon as possible. The characteristics of Christ are just as Christ. I just took three because we could probably go several weeks just on the characteristics of Christ. But the first one is love. The paramount one is love. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, "I am compelled by love." I am compelled by love. You know what that does? That erases all selfishness. That takes away every desire to fulfill my need. I just add this, just throw it in. If you're a spouse and you're constantly trying to get your need fulfilled, your trying to get that fulfilled will become so familiar with your spouse that she'll brush it off and you will not be satisfied. It'll be contemptuous to her or to him. Your constant nagging or your constant moving toward. You need to walk in love, which is unselfish. Seek another's good and not your own. The next characteristic, this is the one, the same. the same. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. One of the greatest needs in my own family was trying to be the same. Trying to maintain what I said today meant that tomorrow. You know what's hard? I just had an opportunity to learn how to be the same. Gave my granddaughter a little slice of lemon cake the other day. And I said, honey, I want you to sit at the table and eat it with Papa. She wanted to go sit down in the family room. I said, honey, you have to sit at the table with Papa or no cake. I put the cake on the counter and said, no cake. She had no cake that night. Oh, you're tough, you're mean. Oh, how can you do that? Just as Christ. Does that mean I always do that? Boy, I tell you, she's so good. She'll break me down like a $2 watch, I'm telling you. But man, that night I was in integrity. I said, no, honey. It's either at the table with Papa or no cake. That works with your wife, too. No, never mind. Just kidding. Only kidding. The third characteristic I wrote down, it is second place. Second place. I want to look at Romans. I want to go to Romans where the definitive definition of a mind that's renewed starts in Romans 12 and goes all the way to 15:7. I listen too. But in verse 10 it says this. He said, have integrity in your home, just as Christ. Love. Be the same. Be consistent. If you tell your spouse you're going to do something, do it. This one here, second place. You heard that phrase? Second place is the first loser. That phrase knows nothing about just as Christ. Let me read it. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Let me give you the old Lonnie. Put yourself in second place and you'll be affectionate to someone else. Sigmund Freud said, a guy who has a toothache cannot be in love because he's too concerned about his own pain. He was a great, great psychologist, wasn't he? Is that the truth or what? When you're so full of yourself, putting yourself first, you'll have no concern for anyone else in your family. And they'll recognize that. Your kids will see that. And you know what they do when they begin to see that? They begin to try to manipulate you. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you? When they see your selfishness and your desire to be first, I'm the father in this house, I'm the husband here, I'm the head of it. They'll say, that's cool, but what I'm going to do is come around the back door. I think I'm going to go through mama. I think I'm going to go through crying and kicking and screaming. I think I'm going to go through doing what's wrong to get you to recognize me, to give me what you selfishly want. Okay, I think that's the teacher's here today, isn't he? Just a little bit. Second place. Look at Philippians. We'll just look at that a little more. Maybe the others will go through fast. I don't want you to get sleepy on me. I don't want you to think, oh my gosh, how long is that preacher going to go? We worship for so long. Then there was prophecies. Then there was this odd way of offering. Ooh. We're going to get to, let's see, where we go. Oh, yeah, number four is in church. Philippians 2. This is so interesting. Look at this. Let nothing be done, verse 3, Philippians 2, 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each other esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only to his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You gotta lift your family up bigger than you. When Uncle Bob calls and says, I'm stuck in the ditch, you say to him, why are you calling me? You say to him, yeah, Uncle Bob, I'm on my way. What if Uncle Bob is unsaved and Aunt Kathy is unsaved, but when she calls and says, I got to go to the store, can you watch my kid? Sure, bring him on over. What happens when you're sitting around the dinner meal and someone says, what do you think about this end time and Jesus thing, Lonnie? And someone goes, oh, come on, not religion. Uncle Bob will pipe up and say, hey, you better listen to him. That guy's a straight shooter. Someone's on the phone with that candidate. I don't believe that, Lonnie. I don't know what he's doing. Hey, I know Lonnie. He does what he says. So don't talk bad about him in front of me. Your extended family. Look at verse 4 though here for a minute. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. When it says let each of you look out, it means let you spy out. That means you are watching your wife or your husband, and you're watching your children, and you're watching your relatives incognito. Remember your second place? You're not looking for any kind of pat on the back or glory. And you spot that your kids like a certain type of shoes. So you try to get them for them. You see that, Grandpa Jones would like to get his yard all cleaned up. Without a word, without recognition, you pop over there while he's gone down, south and clean up his yard so when he comes back, it's ready to go. That's what he means by spying out, incognito. He means look. And this is talking really in the picture of a congregation. So when you're here and you're looking at people and you just see, oh, that brother needs something. Then get it to him by this sister over here and say, don't let him know where it came from. See, you second yourself. Love never beats its own drum. Love never says, well, I did that for you, honey, didn't do this for me. Love never does that. And this is in your family. Let's keep going or else we're going to get stuck here. Here's the little quote at the end I wrote down. Integrity in the home can only be learned at the feet of Christ. Number 2, in public. Work, play, general interaction with people out in the public. Acts 10:22 says this, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation. What do people at work, at the store where you shop? I shop at 2 stores and, my wife calls me the mouth. So when I'm in line, I'm talking. How you doing? Oh, yeah. All right, didn't you just have a baby? How's your kids? Blah, 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 blah. So they know me. How about you're in line? That line was sure long. Well, I think you're jipping me with this receipt right here. You're not going to get over on me, I'll tell you that right now. I want to see the manager now. So when you come into the store, get some eggs and some milk, Here comes that guy. I hope he don't come to my line. Or do you walk in the store and go, hey, here comes that guy, I want to check him. I hope he comes over and talks. What do people think about you? What does your neighbor say about you? Moving along real fast. Psalm 15:4 says this. The person who is honored is the one who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Now I'm so keyed in on work. I've been in the workforce. Prior to that, I was just a lazy pothead. Okay? I even lived in the woods in a tent. But after I received Christ into my heart, and He began to make something out of me, I got keyed into life. And one of the things I began to get perspective on was work. And work is good. Work is right. And work has a purpose. And when you're in the work field, when you sign up, say, yeah, I want to work for you. All right, here's our handbook, you know. I work for companies with handbooks, and they're good. Because, you know, if they mess up, you can bring the handbook on them. Be at work at 7 o'clock. You know, we punch out at 3:30. So I come in at 7:05. Punch out at 3:25. Last one in, first one out. Can't do that. I made it a point in my life I made it a point in my life to be first one, to be early, to stay late, without going, you're going to pay for that 10 minutes. You asked me to come here and load the truck before we leave the shop? That's 10 minutes on me. You give it to me. I know. Don't get mad at me. Yeah, but add those up. Add it up. It's an hour or something a week. So? Are you working for the man? Are you following the instruction of the Lord that says, get a job and steal no more so that you have substance to give to someone else? Nowhere in that voice it says, so you can meet the needs of your family. It says, seek the kingdom first and He will meet your needs. And for some of us, because we're not seeking too good, kindly He is to give us a job to meet our needs. Okay? Here's the little quote at the end of that. If a good reputation is like gold, then integrity is like owning the mind. See, a reputation is not integrity. Integrity produces a reputation. Number three, in private, time alone in the secret places. Luke 8:17 says, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known and come to light. What are you doing when you have your own personal time? What are you doing when all you got is one light on and you're at your desk and your computer is burning? What's on that screen? What are you doing when you're at the store by yourself, by the magazine rack? Are you looking at Lowrider magazine? That is almost pure pornography. Someone told me it was. I had no personal experience. Are you looking at Hot Rod magazine? Is having a hot rod or having a lowrider bad? No. It's what they portray in their print that's bad. Are you alone at night with your TV on? What are you flipping through? It's your private time. This is my time. What are you doing with it? Let me give you two examples of two people. One is the type of, one is the anti-type. David. 2 Samuel chapter 11 on through, you hear his story. In his private time, he would go up on the roof of the palace and look over at a young lady taking her bath. You remember her name? Bathsheba. The anti-type, Jesus, And Luke 5:16 says that he would pull away and go pray. Now I want you to see this contrast. I want you to see this line that is drawn in a private time where integrity is your foundation and your standard. When David came off the roof, he was powerless. When Jesus came off the mountain, he was powerful. For in Luke 5:17, the next verse it says, he was in a place where there were Pharisees and laws and everyone gathered and the power of the Lord was present to heal them all. In your private time. How are you going to get private time? You're going to have to dislocate your heart. You're going to have to get your heart off what you want in your private time. Does it mean you can't have some recreational time? Does it mean you can't just chill and relax and maybe watch a comedy or something? No, it doesn't mean that. It means what your heart is attached to, you must dislocate it so that you can first, foremost, in your private time, say, Lord, what is it you want to do? Lord, is it, you know, I'm not saying, should I wear a tie like this or should I watch this show? No. I'm talking about integrity. These decisions aren't necessarily made with prayers or even thoughts. They're automatic from out of the heart, just as Christ. A Christ-centered heart makes decisions automatic. He says, no, I'm not going to surf that web. No, I'm not going to watch that movie. And I know some people that said it, so I am not doing it. They got rid of the web and they got rid of TV. Oh, they're just dumb and stupid. Maybe not. Maybe they have a dislocated heart. And they want God and His integrity functioning in them. So when they speak, people go, yeah, I got you. So when they come off the mountain, they're full of power and not powerless. Here's my little phrase in this one. Integrity isn't formed in a crisis. It only comes to light. What you build in your private place is what's going to shine when the pressure's on. And I know all about that in many areas of my life. Number four. This one's for you, Pastor. In the church. Integrity in the church. That is the duty. And don't turn off your ears because I said duty. Responsibility. Duty. Fellowship with other Christians. Galatians 5:13 says this, but through love, serve one another. Are you coming to church to build a reputation, gain a title, to be seen? Because someone forced you, you know, nagged you, bothered you, come on, let's go, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. God, can you shut up? What is this church every Sunday thing? What do you guys do there? And we do what you think we do. The preacher wants our money, so we give it. Are you forced to come? You feel obligated to come? As one fellow said, I don't mind going to church because they got good-looking girls and most of them are clean, too. I work with the guy. He's going to get him some here at church. And I said to him, well, what if that was your daughter and I was going to get me some, too?
Well, that's different.
What was one of the definitions of integrity? Soundness, sameness? Consistency? Gosh. Or are you just coming to see the show? Just want to see what's going to happen? See if the Holy Ghost is going to move? See if the choir is going to bring us to a place of ecstasy. Is the pastor going to slip up and say some words that he shouldn't say? I just want to see what happens. I want to see if Mary's there or Joe Beth or John is there. I'm looking around. Oh, yeah, I see he's there too. Are you just coming for the show? If so, you are not serving others, but in fact, you are self-serving. And you'll get nothing out of church. Nothing. Philippians 4:8. Hey, isn't that where we were last? Philippians 4:8. You finding it? Thirsty. You guys are whipping up a froth in me. You know, true preaching is orchestrated by the Lord because He knows the heart of the people that will be listening. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now I want you to look at that phrase, whatever things are noble. The word noble there also means to worship, reverent, dignified, honorable. And the word is only used here in Philippians and in 1 Timothy. So this applies to the church, doesn't it? Who is 1 Timothy wrote to? A pastor. The word deals with honorable, reverent things, holy things. In fact, the ancients, the word meant something to the gods. Noble, venerable. But in this whole context, it's covering the whole range of life. Not only earthly things, but spiritual things. And this word has the quality to invite and attract God's blessing in both realms. Whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are reverent, your duty. Duty is honorable. And if you say it is not, then I want you to look at the graveyards, the military graveyards all over our country. Right here in this state, we have military cemeteries. We have graveyards. We have men and women right now in foreign countries. Those men are doing their duty. They're not asking why. They're not questioning. They're saying, "Yes, sir." When we come to this church, if we're full of integrity, we will come with ourselves humbled in second place and say, "What is it you need?" We will not come in this door with demands. This is what my calling is. This is what I want to do. We won't come up in the choir loft and say, "This is how I sing. I want this note or this whatever." We will come with our heads bowed, our necks bent, and say, "What do you need? How can I serve in love?" Amen. That's a hard position. That is not easy. Because we all have ambitions. We all have drives. Some of us are anointed and called to preach and to do wonders and miracles. But none of those things are manifested in a manipulating, prideful heart. Maybe a little taste here. A little bit here. Is that just a proof? See, I am called. You see that anointing fall on me? No, that's just to stir you up to humble yourself even further at the feet of Jesus. And when you live like that in church, when you come to church like that, you will be inviting. You will be attracting God's blessing, God's promotion, God's hand. I got my little phrase right here, my little statement. Serving with integrity in the church invites and attracts God's blessing to you. Number five and the last one. Inner self. Spirit, soul, and body. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says this, "Let a man or woman examine themselves." Let a person examine themselves. There comes a time we must be honest with ourselves. We have to ask the hard questions. We have to look deep into our own heart. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to us right where we are at. Even in yourself, you must maintain an integrity. This is different from private. Private is more where you hear from God. You take time to listen to God. You take time to allow His Word to do something to you. Here, when you examine yourself, when you bring yourself to God, you're bringing yourself to meet with Him. You know, I can do what my pastor tells me without ever meeting Him. But if I can meet Him and discover His heart, I'll do what He tells me with greater power, greater understanding, and greater zeal. In our own selves. Not only must you hear from God in your private times, have integrity there, but you must meet with God. Jesus said, "Remove the plank from your own eye, first then you will be able to see clearly." To remove the speck from someone else's eye. He means you will be able to help your neighbor in love, carefully, kindly, gently, powerfully, on even ground. This comes out of integrity in yourself, checking yourself. And the way to get the most out of this type of integrity is to have a... And don't get religious on me or get, I like to say, word of faith religious, but to have a broken spirit. That is where you take time to examine yourself before God, seeking the Holy Spirit in you to examine you. Who knows the things of a man but the Spirit in a man? And who knows the things of God but the Spirit of God? Them two coming together, examining your life, and you just humble yourself to God and allow His grandeur and His greatness and His fullness just to break you. And get you out of your own worth and your own value that you generate from your own self. I believe the scripture says it's called filthy rags. Does that mean mealy mouth broken? No. If you have a true broken spirit, if you have truly examined yourself and set yourself before the Holy Spirit, you'll be empowered beyond your wildest imaginations. You'll be quickened and refreshed beyond what you can think or even ask. For there is a power working in you. My last little statement. Integrity with yourself helps us to see more clearly and keeps us from being self-deceived. Integrity in the home, in the public place, in the private place, in the holy place, church, and in yourself, with you, where you actually meet with God. When we walk that way, the Bible says we will be recognized, not of our own doing, but they will see and know that God is working in you. When we walk that way, there'll be a oneness in our marriages. When we walk that way in front of our children, though they may go astray, they'll come back. I got one of the greatest examples of integrity I've ever seen in anyone, and that's my father-in-law and mother-in-law, Ruby and Royal. They raised their kids. They walked in integrity. Pert near impeccable integrity. And their oldest daughter got into the grip of drugs. And her life was lost. And she was in a trailer up in northwest Squim. There it is. Dying. The Spirit quickens my father-in-law. Why? Because in his integrity, he loved and cared for her, and he could work through that. But if he was not, oh, well, forget her. Just let her go. Tough love. He went up there and got her and brought her to the hospital. And she is now going to Bible college, full of the Holy Ghost and on fire with God at 55 or something. It's never too late. If you build on a sure foundation, the storms will come, the problems will come, it may all go to hell. But when it's done, you're going to be standing in a firm place and it will turn around for you. Hallelujah! Glory to God. He's good. You know, let's stand up. Let's get this thing wrapped up. Boy, God is just so dynamic. So wonderful. So interactive with us. Hallelujah. No, this isn't like waiting on the Holy Ghost. This is trying to remember where I was. There's even integrity up here, you know. You think the preacher is waiting on the Holy Ghost when he's kind of, oh, no, he's trying to figure out where he was. Come on, preachers up here, you know I'm not lying. See, I got you, Ted. Got you standing up for what? I don't know. But the Lord is good. Come on, Pastor Jan, say something and then we'll do something. Oh.
Well, I really feel that you touched it. This is a powerful message. This went with the move of the Holy Ghost. I was thinking, now he's dealing out the responsibility of the Word of God, which made a move of God at the beginning of the service complete. And I think what we need to do is be open the pulpit up for us to pray for those who really want change in their life. If they, I know the Holy Ghost spoke to everybody about integrity in their own heart, where they put themselves first rather than the good of somebody else. And that message is pretty powerful today. I don't really want to say too much to add to it. I want everybody to absorb what you had been saying. You know. Hallelujah.
All right. Praise the Lord then.
Everybody sit down for a minute. Well, I'll have them stand back up.
Do what to them?
I'll have them stand up for a
minute. Hey, I was lost in the Spirit, brother.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
He was lost in the Spirit. Yeah, that. Well, I'll accept that as a form of integrity.
I think you said sit down. I think.
Come forward, ushers. We're gonna bless him. Hallelujah. We're gonna bless Lonnie.
Thank you.
Specific instruction from the Holy Ghost. If you hated the message, you should be the best giver. Praise God. Father, as your wonderful people now, if you want an envelope, raise your hands up right now. You should get an envelope, because what that'll do is it'll cause Carol to log it for you on your behalf in the area of an offering. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think out of the years of pastoring, I really like to see the Word of God work in the heart of people, man. It just gives a pastor such great joy, and I see that really happening to Lonnie and different ones. It's really great. And so, Father, we're now ready to receive for Lonnie. And Father, we thank you for the gift that has come and delivered an important part of the gospel. Matter of fact, the major important part of it, how to give of ourselves, because that was the integrity of our Lord, did everything for us. And so, Father, may your people be blessed as they bless the gift that came today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead. While they're doing that, come back up here, Lonnie. I'm going to have you pray for the people. We'll end the service. When I end it, we'll have them come up for prayer. How many of you would like for us to pray and come in agreement with you that God will mark this as an important time for your life? You know, the gospel goes forward, and when God speaks to your heart concerning that word, then take advantage of that and mark this on your calendar today as receiving from God something that you can act on. You know, that's how I've always viewed the Word of God my whole life, is that whenever I got a fresh impartation of the understanding of the Word, I'd get prayer for that and I would mark it to keep it a part of my life. Amen. Now, Lonnie, when he spoke some things up here today about husband and wife, I got to thinking, now here we have this move of God at the beginning of the service, and he's pulling this revival right out of me. Because his message hit me in an area. How many of you were hitting an area today?
Amen.
Amen. But actually what he was doing is conditioning you for a greater revival.
Amen.
Greater move. Hallelujah. Okay, stand up, everybody. Before we close this service, if there be anybody here that has never received Jesus as their personal Savior, or if you even question about whether you're saved or not, you need to respond, because you're changing citizenship. You're moving out of the citizenship of this world into the citizenship of heaven. And that is vitally important. Hallelujah. To escape eternal death. Because life is full of uncertainties, but when you get born again, life then becomes on purpose. And not circumstantial, but on purpose. And God leads you to how to be on purpose in your life. He leads you to exact timing for your life. But that is important. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would like to come forward, feel free to do that. Feel free to do that. Feel free to do that. If you question your salvation, feel free to come forward at the end of the service. And we will be glad to minister to you. And as the message went forth today, and you know within your own heart God was speaking about where you lack integrity in that area, put that up before God today and mark it on your calendar and say, today is going to be a change for me. I want to be a person of integrity. And just pick one area that you know you need to improve on and ask the Lord to help you in that area. Matter of fact, go home and write it down. And writing it down, saying, today, this day, this date, then this time, I am making a change in this area. So when we dismiss the service, you'll get a prayer for that. With that said, Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you for the people. And as we dismiss them, may those who need prayer come forward and receive today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. With that, you're dismissed.